My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general. Many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Collins, Brooklyn to the world.
Wait, what? Too loud. Keep going.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Collins, Brooklyn to the world. We're here from the MGM Grand.
We're not live. We're never live.
We're live. Take it easy.
The show's
hey,
never live.
We have microphones, so you don't have to yell.
No, we don't. We're trying to feel like I have to yell
because it's so loud.
We're trying to talk over the music, though.
No,
we're playing House of Pain up around.
We're trying to talk over the crowd, too.
No, but we hear each other.
Right.
And we got mics.
We do.
And we don't want this to be distorted, so people like, this sounds like shit.
Okay. But I'm going to make like I don't hear you anyway.
We're talking to deal with
Peter Collins in Vegas. Peter Collins in Vegas is distorted. He hasn't slept since he got here last night. He still hasn't slept, I don't think.
Nice. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, this is Vegas at the fullest. Brooklyn to the world comes to Vegas. We're here live and in charge from the weigh-in for the Leo Santa Cruz and Carl Frampton rematch. Or should I say Carl Frampton versus Leo Santa Cruz rematch?
Hey,
since Carl won the first fight.
And this episode, this special Vegas edition.
Special Vegas edition.
Weigh-in of a Fight of the Year rematch is brought to you by none other than Blue Apron.
Blue Apron?
Yeah.
Wow.
Blue Apron.
Sponsoring us in Vegas. Yeah, they're on the road with us.
They heard we're coming. They're like, we need to be on that show.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. Those are loyal supporters.
They told us so. We have to tell everyone here about it individually.
Absolutely.
Blue Apron. All right. We'll make just do.
The number one food delivery service in the country. We've talked about this before. Premium ingredients. 40-minute meals, whatever you want.
I like the fact they got healthy stuff, like vegan and stuff.
Not vegan.
They don't have vegan. I thought they had vegan.
Vegetarian, not vegan.
Even better, because I'm not a vegan guy.
Right.
But I do vegetarian moments at times in camp.
You do do.
Yeah. I do them, yeah. Did I say that right?
You know, it comes out, and it's also affordable. It comes to like less than $10 a meal.
Beautiful.
That's good food.
It's a beautiful thing.
It takes 40 minutes to make a meal.
You know, some of the hardest parts of dieting is it gets very expensive for people.
Yeah.
But with the affordable meal plans, it's like we say in Brooklyn, forget about it. It's all
forget
good. It's always good.
And if you use the code Pauly, you get 3 free meals.
Forget about it. It's great.
You can't go wrong with stuff like that.
Hey, listen to these, though. Spicy shrimp Korean rice cakes with cabbage and I don't know what that says. Furikake.
Come on, what is it? What does it say?
Pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. Mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream.
Bro, that is some good stuff.
Yeah, man.
That is some really good stuff.
And they're responsible because their beef, chicken, and pork comes from regionally responsibly raised animals. You know, the hormones.
Yeah. None of that farm-like pollutants over there. Yeah, they're all natural. That's good.
It's affordable. It's variety. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes. It's easy to do. 40 minutes or less.
And it's healthy.
Most importantly, it'll keep
you alive.
If you get a lemon meal, you say, yo, Blue Apron, send me some shit. They'll say, no problem. We'll hook you up.
That's beautiful. I like that. Not only are they a good supporter of the podcast, but they're also just good in general for everybody to try. I mean, everybody should be trying this Blue Apron.
We don't let people.
Where do we go?
They suck.
Where do we find this stuff?
BlueApron.com/Pauly. Three meals plus free shipping.
Slash Pauly the way I spell it. Paulie.
Pauly D, all right?
Forget it. Okay.
Yeah,
slash Pauly, Paulie. BlueApron.com/Pauly, Paulie. Check them out. Some great meals, and you get some savings with my hashtag.
You'll love how good it feels and tastes. Create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. It's a better way to cook.
Boom. That's what we're talking about. All right. So now back to...
I want to do the Uncle Manny.
What do you want to do?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you ever think, being in Vegas, that the Jackal Paul Frampton would have more fans than Leo Santa Cruz?
I wouldn't. It goes to show you just how loyal the UK fans are.
How loyal?
Seriously. I mean, when they support a fighter, they support him in droves. We're on the west coast of the U.S., where it's almost impossible to out-support a Mexican fighter. And there's plenty of Mexican fans here, don't get me wrong. The Mexican fans came out in droves for Leo Santa Cruz. But they are actually outnumbered by the Irish fans that came from across the other side of the world.
The pond. Island,
across the pond, and then across the U.S. too.
Boom.
It's unbelievable. I said, the way they support, I'm envious. They support it in droves and droves. And they were singing. They've been singing since this morning. I mean,
I did not know how I was going to get in this building to get my credentials and to get in here because I couldn't get past his crowd.
Yeah, and you get sucked in.
I get nervous.
Yeah, you get sucked in. You get sucked right in.
Adam Smith.
It's Adam Smith.
Sky Sports.
Shout out to Sky Sports.
How you doing, mate?
If Showtime wasn't doing the show this weekend, I would actually be working with Sky Sports. They're terrific, the best in boxing over in the UK.
I went through a door, I came back, all the bottles and cans from all these alcoholics, I kicked the shit all over the place. Everybody looked at me like I was nuts. I didn't see it, everything just went flying.
But you know what I like, right. You know what I like, Seth? Peter Cards blends right in with the Irish. He blends right in.
Because he drinks.
They come to have a good time, Peter Cards comes to have a good time. They come to watch boxing, Peter Cards comes to watch boxing.
But you know what? They look at him like, oh, we can drink him under the table, no problem. We're Irish. And then they're like,
I guess I'm Northern Irish with my brown hair, you know?
Yeah, well, they're Northern Irish too. Northern Ireland.
From Belfast, yeah.
Belfast, mate, yeah.
Hey, guys, you know, this is going to be our fifth episode of the week of Showtime Championship Boxing. We did the reveal with Mikey Garcia, who's also fighting.
Yeah.
Title shot.
Yes.
Looks like a great fight, too.
That's an awesome fight. You know, I love that fight. I was speaking to both fighters this morning, Mikey Garcia and Dejan Sladichin, and both obviously known as big punchers, both known as exciting styles, and they both look really confident this morning, really relaxed. You know, like, usually at least you catch one or two guys that are stressed about making weight or just they have the stress on their mind, but really, they looked actually forward more so than anxious. They looked forward to the big moment, the big Vegas lights. For Sladichin, it's his first time in Vegas. The big Vegas light, first time fighting in Vegas. The big Vegas lights, their images are on posters all over the strip and in the MGM Grand. And obviously,
this
here
is a fight
the
that
big
this is a fight that with Sladichin and Mikey that. You know, everyone says, oh, Sladichin is a heavy-handed guy, and he's going to try to knock Mikey out. In the fighter meeting, I was happy to be there, and Mikey's like, well, he doesn't know what happens when I hit him. So it's like both guys are going to punch the shit out of each other.
We're very fortunate to be here this weekend for these fights.
We're very fortunate to be watching it on the outside, though.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to feel the dynamite.
No,
we can just watch the dynamite land, you know?
So our boy Mark Kriegel sat down. You guys know the reveal.
Mark did a great piece. Mark did some great pieces.
And we did an extended version. We do an hour-long interview with Mikey Garcia, with Leo Santa Cruz, and with Carl Frampton.
Yeah.
After listening to these shows, I like all these guys. I talked to some guys today. Who do you like in the fight? I said, I don't know. I'm betting a draw.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
I'm putting some money on a draw.
That's the thing people don't realize. Once you get to know a lot of these fighters, you get to really like them. You get to know them personally. You get to know their stories. You get to know their background. You get to know what they have to overcome, what they want to overcome, their dreams. And you start to like them. And it almost gets, as excited as you are about the fight, it's frustrating to know somebody has to lose. You know?
Right,
but that's
exactly
also part of the dynamic of competition, right?
I also have a bone to pick with you, buddy.
What do you got?
I posted Best of 2016 with you, Al, and Morrow, and I tweeted out. And you just liked it. You didn't retweet it. Like
you know what? I did like a social media cleansing the last few days. I just got back in like last night. I really wasn't. I wasn't tweeting a lot for like 5 days in a row.
It ain't for you.
The election's over. So you know, it's a lot less tweeting. The election's over.
It was like a social media cleanse. For like 5 days, I almost
I'm promoting you.
I tweeted
you
almost
how is that? How is that for your soul?
It was cleansing. I felt a lot less venom from the social media venomous people too. You know, like, and I just got back in last night. I decided to sign back on, and I've just started retweeting a couple things about this weekend's fights. You know, so I'm excited. I also started retweeting about my fight as well. You know,
I
signed the fight.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I signed the fight March 4th. David Haye versus Tony Bellew. Here's the situation, how I wind up on this card. I'll give you guys a quick background. So, here's what happened. Originally, we were talking about the Seferino Rodriguez fight for the EBU welterweight title. I was interested in that. We were trying to do all we could do to get it done. We were talking with the New York Commission. We were talking with the EBU about getting it done in North America, which they said would be allowed as long as there were EBU officials and an EBU referee, judges and referee officiating the fight. So we had to work that out with the New York Commission. We put the EBU in touch with the New York Commission. They worked it out. They, you know, the team of Rodriguez team was letting us know, like, hey, man, you know, we're ready to go March 4th. You know, we got to get it done. The commission was letting us know that it's got to be done within 6 weeks. Everything has to be agreed upon. Otherwise, they can't make the fight. So I'm rushing. I'm getting everything done. Looking at March 4th, Thurman Garcia undercard. We get everything done with the commission. We have the EBU gracefully contact the New York Commission. They do wonders. They work together beautifully. We get everything done. We say, okay, we're ready to do this fight. Rodriguez team tells us, listen, our guy's still not ready for March. We can be done maybe April or May because he's still not messed up from the fight in December when he won the European title. Now, granted, if I'm thinking with a logical head, I should have realized that because he got cut up in that fight and he didn't win.
Yeah.
But you should be letting me know before you make me rush and do all the work, especially that I'm rushing, my team is rushing, doing all the work. I'm starting to get in shape, doing all the work. At the end of the day, I actually got aggravated. I was aggravated because I thought I had to wait until at least April, right? I thought I had to wait until at least April. So on the same day I get the call in the morning, they say that they said, hey, you know, Rodriguez is not going to be available. That night, David Haye gives me a call and says, hey, listen, mate, there's room on the pay-per-view for me and Belu. We want to put you and a matchroom fighter, Sam Eggington, on the card. You know, what do you think? And I said, okay, well, let's make me an offer and we'll work it out. Within 3 or 4 days, we went back and forth a little bit and we negotiated it. And then just like that, I am still fighting on March 4th. So I didn't have to even, the good thing is, I didn't have to even interrupt my training or anything, you know, like,
good.
Because I was fighting March 4th. Now I'm still fighting March 4th. The only difference is I'm fighting on the other side of the world, you know?
All right, so tell us the perfect scenario for your 2017.
Perfect scenario for 2017. Honestly, Eggington is the mandatory contender for the European title anyway. So if I was to win it off Rodriguez, I would have had to fight Eggington regardless. So I'm doing it the opposite way instead. Hopefully I can eliminate Eggington. I feel like I match up well against him. I feel like I'm a better boxer. I feel like there's more versatility to my style. But he's a comer. He's a young guy. He's a comer, and he's a guy that's going to bring the fight. And he has that youthful excitement. I know what it's like to be 23 and getting your shot. I understand it. He's going to be coming to bring it. In my ideal 2017, I beat Eggington, take on Rodriguez, beat Rodriguez for the European title, and retire. Now, granted, if I come out unscathed in the Eggington fight, I would like to do the Rodriguez fight right away. If I come out with some cuts or injuries, then we'll have to decide.
Normally you would be upset about not being on a Barclays card, but your second favorite place to fight is London. It is the UK. So
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is something cool because, you know, I was looking forward to fighting in Barclays on a Thurman Garcia card, which is going to be awesome. I mean, Thurman versus Garcia is dynamite. We went to press conference last week, and it's totally exciting.
I'm really upset that you guys aren't going to be there, but I'm also very happy for you.
We're happy to have you there representing us.
You believe I got to miss this card? I got to travel with this whole fart to London?
And so you heard what we're doing, right? Instead, we're going to do the weigh-in show. We're doing From Kriegel to the World.
Kriegel to the World. Yeah, that's all. We just have Mark step in. Sometimes you got to have Mark step in and do it. But regardless, you know, I still look forward to being in London. The fans over there, listen, I know I'm not going to be the fan favorite there. Eggington is from there.
They're not going to boo you.
But I really do think...
We're yelling at each other because this crowd is insane right now.
Listen to this crowd. Listen. Look, they put Sweet Caroline.
Tunes.
No, Sweet Caroline.
Neil Diamond?
No, yes. This is Sweet Caroline, buddy. This is what they play at all the matchroom shows before
Neil
the main
Diamond?
Event.
Also, Red Sox games, as you know, every game, every home game.
This is Sweet Caroline.
It is.
They play this before all the big main events in England. And look, the crowd's gonna start singing right now. Watch. They're all starting to clap. What an atmosphere here. What a great atmosphere. The UK comes to Vegas and takes over. That's how they do.
And we're watching
UK fans.
Fight. We're watching the first fight now, too.
Look, we're watching. Even Peter Carr started singing. Look at Peter Carr started singing. Look, everybody's singing. Everybody's singing. Look.
Sweet Carol.
And this is just the weigh-in. Wait till the fight.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can you imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like tomorrow for the fight?
Oh, you know,
it's going to be like beating the UK, I'm telling you.
You know, tomorrow it's going to be Morrow, Al, Paulie, Pete, and Seth.
Yeah.
We're going to sit next to you guys.
A takeover.
Yeah.
Brooklyn to the World takes over Showtime Championship Boxing tomorrow. I would love that.
Les Moonves.
No, in reality, though, what we're speaking of that, We do need the fans to keep tweeting at Showtime Boxing and at Steven Espinosa to, you know, to keep Brooklyn to the World on the road with Showtime Championship Boxing. To keep us keep us at the weigh-ins. Keep us at the press conferences. If you guys show that you guys love the show and you guys are interested,
the stars
will you
are
let me promote
sky.
It, you stupid bastard? Will you let me promote the show?
Go for it.
Damn it. Unbelievable. So, like I was saying, if you guys promote it on Twitter, on Instagram, let Steven Espinosa know. Let at Showtime Boxing know. Tweet them. Let them know that you want Brooklyn to the World on the road with them, with Showtime Championship Boxing, at all the weigh-ins, at all the press conferences. That hypes up the show. Let them know that you want us here at all these events, and we'll be bringing you these shows, well, not live, but we'll be here live, and you guys can listen to it later. From the atmosphere we'll be bringing you, from these weigh-ins, from these press conferences. It's up to you guys. You guys have to show Showtime Boxing and ask Steven Espinosa that there is support for the show. If there isn't, you know, they may give us the axe, because right now we're in a trial period. So, guys, tweet it out. Tweet out as much as you can to Steven Espinosa at the Showtime Boxing. Make sure you mention their Twitter handles.
Steven just texted me. He says he's going to give me a bus ticket to Ohio.
Yeah. Well, a bus ticket to Ohio. That's what I mean. We need plane tickets, guys.
He's giving us a Ford Pinto.
So anyway, so if you guys support the show, if you guys show your support on social media, I think this thing can keep going, and we'll keep bringing you these great shows. Not from the studio, even better, right from the weigh-ins, right from these atmospheres. We'll be giving you various atmospheres, different weigh-ins.
Live!
So you guys can feel like you're at the weigh-in with us. And that way, when you watch the fight the next night, you know, you could be into it a little bit more. You know, we hope this is what you like. We hope that we can bring it to you the best of our ability, you know. And if there's any fighters or the trainers in the area, obviously we always try to get them for interviews and whatnot. We're doing our best to see what we can grab that's around here. Right now, it's just a lot of drunk fans singing, which is cool. It's always fun with us. And we'll keep bringing you these shows. So that was just a little reminder for all you guys. It's up to you guys, all the fans of Brooklyn to the World, to support it and to get the word out there to our bosses.
You know what this reminds me of? So excited.
What does it remind you of?
I was up on that stage dancing while you were getting disrobing for the weigh-in for the Hatton fight.
Yeah, yeah.
It was this kind of energy.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
The guys didn't even come out yet.
The guys didn't even come out yet.
Yeah. The best boxing fans in the world.
Yeah, you think
right?
This is crazy. Just wait till the fighters come out.
So you know what? Listening to those interviews with these fighters, Frampton and Santa Cruz, what's interesting is that was Santa Cruz's first loss. We've never really had to see him make adjustments. And he talked about it. He said, I can make adjustments, and trust me, I'm going to. So I'm really curious to see what he's going to do different.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's going to have to make adjustments if he wants to win this fight.
Right.
You know,
to be here in Las Vegas.
Here we go.
Here we go. They're about to start the weigh-in.
For fight of the year, as tomorrow night here at MGM Grand, we will have a rematch between, from Belfast, Northern Ireland, Carl the Jackal Frampton. He will put his title on the line.
We're getting ready for the big weigh-ins right now, guys. This is great. We're like,
Ray Flores is on stage. Ringing out to Ray Flores on stage.
You know what I love? I love seeing this kind of passion for the 126-pounders. You never really get that a lot. Everybody's always worried about the heavyweights and this one and that. These little guys bring just as much action, if not more.
You know what they talked about with these guys?
What I'm excited about? These are Corona girls on stage, too. Can I be excited about the Corona girls? Minka.
These are two special fighters, though. They're champions. Three-weight champion, Santa Cruz.
Special fighters in a special weight class, because this weight class is stacked.
You know, there was a question for Santa Cruz. How does it feel to throw 1,000 punches in a fight and lose?
Right, yeah.
You know, that's his strategy. He throws punches.
The problem is he's going to have to be a little bit more selective, because when you got a sharp opponent like Frampton, he counters you. So your output has to be selective. You can't just throw just to throw. Otherwise, you're going to pay the price.
Yeah, he doesn't want to waste that energy.
Right. But
Carl is very smart. He's not going to sit there and trade when he doesn't have to.
Right. These guys are such humble guys. They're so hungry still. They want to be the best. They like each other.
The passion is there.
And they're already talking about a third fight before they have a second one. I mean, that's because they're great fighters.
He was the super middleweight kingpin with a record of 33 wins.
Who's this? They're about to announce Carl Flock on stage right now.
Losses. A 14-year Hall of Fame career. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Carl Frotch.
Introducing Carl Fry. He's working for Sky Sports this weekend.
Carl, why? Great to see you.
Oh, you got to call him over. We got to talk to him.
My friend.
We gotta try to bring Carl on Brooklyn to the world.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, you were former world champion, now turned commentator for Sky Sports. You do a wonderful job in the UK. But what is it like once again to see these amazing fans from the UK descend upon Las Vegas?
I'll tell you what, there's no fans like the Irish fans, let me tell you. I was on the airplane out here and all the airplanes are pulling the Irish.
Carl's lucky he's retired by saying that.
They really are boxing fans. They've got the knowledge, they know the sport inside out. And it's not hard.
He won't come back, will he?
Because
he's talking that Triple G stuff.
Exciting. He leaves it all in the ring. And, you know, the last fight was close.
Hey, Pete, I see your friend over there.
To win, but we expect another really, really big fight. And this crowd, this Irish crowd, they need to make the noise on the night for Carl Frampton. And they'll get him through that final round. And our big respect to the Irish crowd.
You know what it's like to be involved in rematches. Your matchup in London, Wembley Stadium, unbelievable, 90,000 people. Can you tell us about what Carl Frampton is thinking heading into this rematch?
Listen, Carl Frampton is a consummate professional. He knows what he's got in front of him. Leo Santa Cruz is a really, really good fighter. He knows what he's doing. He's very busy.
This crowd is out of control.
He's got a better mind now. Now he's pulling with his father's over, and that's behind him. So Leo Santa Cruz is in a better place. He's on the West Coast. He's close to home. So I expect him to come now and really, really give a good show for himself. But Carl Frampton will just be confident, quietly confident. He's got the first win in the bag, but he knows how hard it was. So it's going to be important to concentrate and just leave it all in the ring, leave everything in the ring.
Now, not only do we have Carl Frampton, but also from the UK, from Wales, Lightning Lee Selby is also in a matchup against Jonathan Barros. And I guess Lee Selby has some fans, but also some detractors as well. But what are you expecting to see out of Lightning Lee Selby? There is talk, if Selby is victorious, if Frampton is victorious, then we could see a colossal UK matchup at 126.
Listen, I don't know why anybody's booing Lee Selby, because he is a fantastic talent. This boy here, he really, really is a skillful, naturally gifted, you know, his ability.
This crowd is great, man.
On, and I think the fight with Frampton and Lee Selby, if it does happen, don't get me wrong, Frampton's got a job to do tomorrow night. And that's the fight that us in the UK are looking forward to in the future.
Now, when you go ahead, you had a tremendous career. You finished out on top. You could have kept fighting, but people are still clamoring for you to get back inside the ring. When you're around atmospheres like this, does it kind of make you think, oh, one more? Because I know fight fans around the world would love to see you step inside the ring one more time.
Listen, I'm happily retired, and I've got a fantastic career now with Sky Sports. So I'm ringside. I'm in the thick of all the action time after time. But until the day I die, I might be 85 years old, 90 years old, and I'll always be thinking one more. I love this sport. I love fighting. But I'm going to happily stay retired. Trust me.
Well, Carl, thank you very much.
There's that answer.
Really,
Carl Froch is staying retired.
Yeah, and better off. He had nothing left to prove for Carl Froch.
No.
He fought everyone. What's the prediction? Let's see.
Leo Santa Cruz.
Listen, this is going to be a close, close fight. It's going to be hard fought. Everybody's going to enjoy it because it's going to be back and forth. But I'm going with my man. I say my man because he's British. You know, my heart's exactly where it needs to go. Carl Frampton's going to do the business again.
As they say in UK, do the business. Carl Froch picks. Carl
Give it a go, man.
To do the business. I take it do the business means you get the job done, right?
That's
what it means in the UK? We gotta bring that when we go to the UK. When we go to the UK, when I go to the press conference for the Eggington fight, I gotta say I came to do the business, right? Does that mean I'm gonna win, right?
We came here to do the business, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna do the business on March 4th. I gotta use their lingo.
Time boxing event. It is going to be electric, all promoted by Ringstar Sports, Cyclone Promotions, and TGB Promotions, televised live here in the United States on Showtime Championship Boxing.
Oh, he's pointing at Matt. Maybe he's going to bring him over.
We want you. I want to hear the fans from Belfast. If you're from Belfast.
Let's see how they crowd. Look at the crowd. Look at this crowd.
Make some noise.
We got the champ Carl Froch coming.
Now, if you are a fan of the challenger, the rich tradition of Mitra...
Champ Carl Froch is sitting on Brooklyn to the World. How you doing, champ?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I can't hear a thing, but I'm good.
I tell you, we should be used to this. The UK fans always bring tremendous support.
UK fans always been great sport. We've seen that with Ricky Hatton over the years, the Trumpet fans. There's not as many out here as what Ricky Hatton had. I mean, that was phenomenal.
What about yourself?
These are making enough noise, let me tell you, for 30,000.
Unbelievable.
You were on the plane with a lot of these guys. Any fun stories?
Well, you know what? All I did was take selfies and tell stories about how it was an 8-hour flight. I got a nice seat on the plane, but...
Did they let you sleep?
No, there was no sleep.
No sleep till Vegas.
It was close to harassment, but it was enjoyable.
Enjoyable harassment. Hey, it's part of the Vegas traditional experience. So, Carl, obviously, we heard you speak on the stage a little bit about the fight. What's going to be the difference for Carl Frampton to win Saturday night? Do you feel he's going to win a close fight? In your opinion, what gives him the edge Saturday?
Just for what I saw in the first fight, you know, he's just a little bit better in his boxing department. It's a strange because Santa Cruz got a reach. You know yourself, reach is such a big advantage. If you've got higher reach on somebody, then really you've got that little edge. But Santa Cruz doesn't seem to maximize that advantage. I don't know why, but he's not comfortable with his jab. I don't feel like his jab's sharp enough. But I just think rematches you to go with the guy who won the first one. And Frampton will be confident, he'll be more relaxed.
A bit more versatile, in my opinion.
Yes. He's got a little bit more in his locker room. Not much, though. He's very close. And Santa Cruz, he's very, very busy. You know, he's accurate as well. I mean, we saw the punch statistics in the first fight. There was nothing really to separate them. I just watched the fight again because I like to get my commentary job as a commentator on Sky Sports. I like to be correct, but the first six fights, Frampton won virtually all the rounds. And then Santa Cruz came on late. I don't know what happened to Frampton. Why he slowed down, if he was feeling it.
Maybe it's a little bit of the pressure as well. Maybe that's Santa Cruz's plan, is to try to break down the opposition over the course of the rounds with a lot of pressure.
Exactly. There's extra pressure. Even though he's got the first win, he should be more confident. There'll be extra pressure on Frampton now to do it again. When it gets hard in there for him, he'll start to think for himself. It's this element of doubt setting in. And I just think Santa Cruz being over here on the West Coast, so he's close to home. Yeah. He's father now. His father's just caught cancer. So the family, you know, the very tight family unit, they're all going to be very, very happy now. Yes. You know, a happy fighter is a good fighter, as you know.
Absolutely.
So I'm expecting a really, really close fight again.
Well, champ, we know you got to get back to your gig at Sky Sports. I'm sorry I can't be there with you this weekend, but I look forward to meeting up with the Sky Sports team later on. Before we let you go, though, Joshua Klitschko, what is your take on Joshua Klitschko at Wembley Stadium? You're the only other fighter to have fought at Wembley Stadium. 80,000 for you, 90,000 now for Joshua and Klitschko. What are we going to do? They broke the record.
I'm going to be outside counting every single fan.
Making sure. We don't want to believe that the record is broken. We're going to have the champ Carl Frosch outside with a clicker, making sure there's exactly 90,000 in the arena on April 29th.
So don't ask me what I think about it. I'm disgusted.
Overshadowed by this big fight is the Mikey versus Dejan fight. What do you think about that lightweight
Mikey
championship?
Mikey Garcia and Dejan Slatichin. What do you think about that fight?
This is another great fight. You know, two guys that really want to win. Really need to win. These are like fighters that have got all the ability, all the skill, the power. They know what they want. So I don't know. I'm just looking forward to another long fight. But then someone walks into a shot.
Cracking fights tomorrow night. We're looking forward to it, champ. Great to have you here,
champ.
The world. Always a pleasure.
Champ, your suit is nicely tailored. It's not tailored for a heavyweight. You look fit.
Yeah, you know what? I look slimmer than what I am. I'm almost 190 pounds.
Really?
Yes.
You don't look it.
I get that too.
I'm still about 7% body fat. So I'm really, you know, I'm slim.
You look fit.
It's always fun not to have to make
healthy,
weight.
Right? Always, yeah. Happily retired, right, champ?
It's always fun not to have to make weight, though, champ.
Retired. I always get a book for it. I'm going to take it. Everyone's asking me to go off camp, come back, maybe James can now. But I retired on the top. Me and Paulie had this conversation before.
You got a wonderful family. You made money. You did what you had to do.
And champ, you're already a fighter that fought everyone. You fought
exactly.
In their prime. You were in your prime. Never an easy thing to fight guys when you leave your prime and they're still in their prime. It's not. It's almost unfair because the criticism will come, but you're not at your best here. So you did all that already. And just know that there's even fellow fighters like myself and fans that appreciate that. Champ,
this is coming from the hypocritical voice of Paulie Malignaggi, who's fighting again.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't accomplish what Paul...
Touche! Touche!
I didn't accomplish what Paul Frost accomplished. It's my problem.
Chat, take it easy, man. Gents. Enjoy the show.
We'll see you guys later. Enjoy.
Thank you. The Cobra.
Paul Frost. Former unified super middleweight champion.
This guy puts on a suit and he's a killer.
Was he unified? Did he unify the belts? Did he unify belts at any point? I don't know. He might have unified. I know he fought everyone in super middleweight, to put it that way.
He fought everyone there was to fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
MGM Grand Garden Arena.
So Richard Schaefer got on stage just now. Richard Schaefer just came by the desk and let us know that he's going to be in My Fight March 4th, so apparently...
Well, it's a co-promotion, right?
It's a co-promotion with Ringstar.
It's a tri-promotion.
Because Haymaker and Ringstar is going to now join forces to promote in boxing.
Right.
And Matchroom is co-promoting that show over there. So in reality, I think Schaefer is going to be working with Haymaker more on a more regular basis. So that's just one of the cards he's going to be working
Not
with.
A bad idea.
Not a bad idea because he's European-based anyway. I mean, he's obviously in L.A., but he's European by roots. He's a Swiss, ex-Swiss banker.
And for the For the last run of his career, I would like to be behind David Haye as well.
Yeah, of course. It's terrific, man. You know, and I think that they can grow that promotional stable a little bit better. We saw Richard Schaefer there when he was heading with Golden Boy, and we've seen Golden Boy where they've gone since Richard Schaefer left. They haven't gone up. They've gone down, you know. Just this past week, they lost their lawsuit against Al Haymon, which I think a lot was hanging on them winning that lawsuit, and the federal judge just dropped the lawsuit. It's over. So I think Golden Boy, you know, has a little bit of rebuilding to do, and they're doing it. You know, they've gotten an ESPN contract starting in March. They're gonna do their just do, and just like any promoter, you know, try to build their stable up as best they can. But we also look forward to seeing Richard Schaefer back, man. I'm curious to see how he does over with Haymaker, David Haye, more so maybe signing European fighters, maybe trying to bring North American fighters over to Haymaker fighting Europe. Well, we're not sure. We're actually not sure how it's going to go. But we do know Richard Schaefer always has some great ideas.
He's got some cards up his sleeve all the time.
Up his sleeve, exactly. Because really, I mean, even if you're North American, England and the UK started to become the place to want to fight. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
The crowds are better. So they brought the UK here for this fight. This is crazy. I mean, this fight is as crazy as it is. The atmosphere is as crazy as it is, mainly because UK fans that came here. So UK fans stay doing it big. They stay doing it big, and I think more and more people are going to want to be involved with the UK scene. So we'll see what Richard Schaefer has in mind with David Haye. But he did let me know just now that March 4th he will be in London at the O2 Arena for the Haye vs. Bellew card.
Hey, guys.
See my fight as well.
So Richard was formerly with Oscar, right? Now he's not with Oscar anymore?
No. Richard's been long gone from Oscar.
Gone, right. So now he's just getting back in the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were just talking about. Is that, you know, Richard's always done well when he's been involved in boxing for the company that he's been involved with. Golden Boy was a powerful company when he was there. And since he's left, they're really, and honestly speaking, no offense to Golden Boy, but they're not the power that they used to be. So, and that doesn't mean they can't rebuild to that, but it just means that, you know, Richard Schaefer obviously was a big reason for that. So him being involved with Haymaker Promotions, in England, I think, and David Haye and whatnot, I think is bodes well, and there's a lot of possible positives for David Haye, for his promotional company. And we'll see. Maybe he's starting with the Haye Bellew card, and we'll see what go from there. They're gonna co-promote it with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, who's always a big promoter in England.
Game on! Don't miss a second of the NFL on CBS. With CBS All Access, subscribers can stream their local market games live and get full game day coverage on TV-connected devices and tablets. From Thursday Night Football to Sunday doubleheaders, we have all your NFL on CBS excitement covered. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. That's cbs.com/NFL.
You know, just thinking about this fight that's coming up, and listening to Carl Frampton, and Krieger was throwing out possible opponents, and he mentioned Rigondeaux, and Frampton said he doesn't fight a fan-friendly style, so he's just hurting himself, so there's no money in it. He said he's a wonderful talent and a great fighter, but you know, he's just,
I can't blame anybody for not wanting to fight Rigondeaux.
Oh, he said he's a great fighter, but
it's not a fan-friendly style, but, you know,
he's going to pay twice as much to fight Santa Cruz.
It's about winning at the end of the day. It's about winning. Almost nobody does it better than Rigondeaux. I would favor Rigondeaux. We got Steven Espinosa, boss of Showtime over here. Say what's up, Steven. Steven!
Yo, it is it's a madhouse in here.
It's electric.
How you can do
Steven,
how you
we
do.
Were just we, Steven, we just want you to know We've let the world know that they got to break your chops on Twitter about keeping this going at every weigh-in. We got to bring the show at every weigh-in, and we got to let the boss know.
Look, I think I'm going to be here in 30 years ready to retire, and we'll still have the streak of Paulie's podcast at every weigh-in.
Every weigh-in, because I'm going to retire from fighting soon, so I'm not going to miss a weigh-in.
I don't want to incur the wrath of all your Twitter followers. So
especially Peter Carnes.
You and Seth.
You know, Peter Carnes' Twitter followers, they get up there, too.
I can't stop. I can't stop the movement.
So we expect to be in Cincinnati in 3 weeks.
It's a movement. You're right. It's a movement.
You know, I can't stand in the way. Exactly.
It's not a podcast anymore. It's a movement. It's more
than
a podcast.
You're right.
Brooklyn to the World has become a movement.
Exactly. I told you, Stephen got me a bus.
You know what?
Brooklyn to the World travels.
I got to say, though, I got to give someone like Nonito Donaire credit for fighting the Rigondeaux of the world.
Yeah, so, you know, and this is what I'm saying.
I want to see it eventually.
I want to see everybody fight Rigondeaux. I think Rigondeaux deserves it. He knows what he spelled win. He knows how to win. You know, the problem is, somebody like Donaire, for example, fighter of the year, was coming off a dominant year, loses to Rigondeaux, what happens? People start almost delegitimizing him. You know, he's become he's a top fighter. He's still a top fighter, but people don't view him as the same as these other top fighters anymore. And it's not fair. It's not fair. Just because you have the balls to get in there with the best doesn't mean you should be viewed as something less if you lose to them.
Well, you know something about that. Yeah.
I do know something about that because
you got a resume.
I'll tell you what, in my opinion, I'll tell you something. I beat Eggington. I'm a top 10 welterweight once again. Me with a win over Sam Eggington March 4th. You cannot count 10 welterweights in the world better than me. I'm not telling you top 5. I'm not even telling you top 7. But I'm definitely a top 10 welterweight after I beat Sam Eggington March 4th. Yet, with 7 losses, all I keep hearing about is people saying Paulie's done, Paulie's shot, when is he going to retire, he's done. I'm not saying my future is to be the number 1 welterweight in the world. I myself know that. That's probably not going to be the case. But as I close back in on the world's top 10, I keep hearing that I'm done, I'm shot, I'm done, I'm this, I'm that. Don't get me wrong, I want to be done, I'm almost done. But it's the amount of losses I've taken that make people almost delegitimize me and want to make other guys with less losses more legitimate, even if they haven't fought the guys I've fought.
Well, you know something? Since we've been doing this show and I pull up everybody's box rec,
the Irish version of me is in the crowd. He took his shirt off.
Peter Griffin?
He's getting thrown out.
He's getting thrown out. No, sir.
They're chucking him.
They chucked out one of the Irish guys for taking his shirt off.
You know,
and it begins.
Paul, when we look at these guys, we look at their records, they don't have the resume you have.
No.
They didn't fight all the top fighters in the world.
No, if you're going to fight everybody, like I said, you're going to take some losses. The most comical thing that I find is when they say I lost all my biggest fights. They only became big fights after I lost them. What happened? The ones that I won, when I won them, they weren't big anymore. I fought plenty of HBO main events, Showtime main events. When I won them, all of a sudden, they weren't big fights anymore.
Oh,
but when I lost them, they were all my big fights. To me, that's the comical thing, because that's been something of a critique that I've heard in the past. But it's like I said, the comical thing is they only become big fights when I lose.
But
when I win them, they weren't big fights anymore.
That's what's great about you, Paul. You're a great marketer and promoter of yourself, so people do not ignore you. They love you or they hate you.
Yeah,
but that's
gonna,
good, because they know you.
Yeah.
And they knew you before you were an animal.
Regardless.
Now they know, now even more
you,
people
you,
know
you.
You
can make some of the people happy some of the time. You can't make all the people happy all the time.
No, and you like it. The haters are good.
And frankly, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
No.
And you have to be able to have some banter and have some fun with it. But at the end of the day, you know, you also have to be able to enjoy your life. And through boxing, luckily, I've been able to enjoy my life. And it's led me to this kind of life, you know, this promotional marketing myself to the point where I've become a commentator. We got a podcast. We're in Vegas at this crazy arena. Peter Carnes mingling with the guys that are getting thrown out. Peter, you know, don't get yourself thrown out with these fans, you know?
No. I was just watching the escapades.
Hey, watching the escapades? You started walking over there. Don't take your shirt off.
Wasn't it called escapades? Or wasn't that something else?
Escapades.
Escapades. Remember the escapades?
We call them shenanigans.
And they're bringing in the round 2 of the Corona Girls. The second batch of Corona Girls have come in.
How many Corona Girls are there?
There's a lot. That might mean that they're ready for the weigh-in. They're bringing in, the stage is still empty, but they brought in the round 2 of the Corona Girls, the second batch. So we'll see. Maybe they're going to bring them up on stage, and from there we'll...
Hey, Paul, I want to ask you a question. You talk about how serious and how hard it is to jump weight classes, being a clean fighter. Do you think guys like Santa Cruz is... Seems like, it goes 18 to 22, 26. It's not as big of a jump. Like, Leo's a three-way champion.
Well, Leo, yo,
is it a little easier?
No, it's not. It's not easier because you can see that the power starts to dissipate as he goes up the ladder. Leo at featherweight is really not much of a puncher. You know what I'm saying?
He's gonna
have to win just with his punch output, his volume, other things. You know, as you go up in weight, what makes fighters great that go up in weight if they're not taking steroids is the fact that they have to be so crafty. They have to be cunning to move up in weight and know how to keep winning when some of their weapons that they've relied on, like power and whatnot, are not able to be used as much anymore because the bigger guys aren't affected by their power as much anymore. When you use PDs, it almost doesn't count anymore because it's not even special at that point.
Like 700 homers,
But when you have legitimate clean fighters moving up in weight and their power doesn't translate anymore as they move up the ladder, which is normal, and they're going to have to show another dimension. They're going to have to show more ability, more versatility, more cunning, more craftiness. That's why it should be appreciated when guys are able to do it. And that's why it's a very rare thing. Only this PED generation has become not a rare thing. But in reality, it's a rare thing to be able to do at a high level.
And one more thing real quick. Mikey Garcia said, I win this fight. Eventually, I want to go to 140. I want to fight Crawford. And then he said, I'll go to 47 and fight Danny Garcia too.
Yeah, I think at 47 he's pushing it. 40, you're already starting to push it.
Right.
I think Mikey Garcia at 40 already has to not fight the best guys. And he can fight the top 10 guys, but not the very, very best.
I think when you start moving
up in weight, you got to start taking on maybe the 4 or 5 guy in the weight class instead of the number 1 or 2 guy in the weight class.
What kind of Danny's done that at 47, right? He's kind of started.
Danny's at 147, but he's an ex-140. But still, I think those guys are a little bit big for Mikey Garcia. I saw Mikey Garcia this morning at the fighter meeting. He's not a big guy. A lightweight, he's about the right size for a lightweight, you know. So he doesn't have much more weight class to go up to where that power is going to keep translating. Eventually, it's going to not translate.
Got it.
Let's go back there. Ray Flores is on stage. Let's see if they start this weighing now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we also want to bring up our lovely Corona girls as tomorrow night's event is being sponsored by Corona. Show them some love, guys.
And the champ, Abdelmadis, sitting down with Brooklyn to the World as we await for the weighing of the Santa Cruz and Frampton showdown. Champ, how you doing, man? Good to have you on the show.
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
So what's up, man? You looking at your eye in the winner of this fight?
Yeah, definitely eyeing the winner of Frampton Leo. I'm also eyeing the winner of the fight against Lee Selvey. I want that too. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be a great card.
So here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking. If Leo manages to win this fight, they're probably going to fight a third fight. You're going to have to wait for the winner.
Of course.
Would you probably want to fight Lee Selvey instead, and then maybe the winners fight each other?
Of course. Whatever makes sense, man. Whatever makes sense. I know. I've been in the business already. So if they win, obviously, it'll make a third fight. The fight, even if it's a draw, they'll definitely make a third fight. So I'm definitely, I'll fight Lee Selvey. I will fly over to his hometown and fight him out there.
You have no problem doing that.
Yeah, no problem.
A lot of fans will sit there and say, well, Abner lost to Leo. If Frampton beat Leo, he probably beats Abner, right? They don't understand that styles make fights.
Yeah, exactly. Styles make fights. I mean, it's not, and it doesn't work like that, you know what I'm saying? And Leo, yeah, he did beat me, but it was a close fight. You know, it was a really, really close fight. And like I said, it's not that I'm hating or not giving him respect, but I beat myself that night. You know, I didn't fight the right fight. And
I thought you were going to win that fight.
Yeah, I could have, and I know I will if we get that rematch.
Tell me how things changed since the win over Quajar, because you know how it is. People are very fickle. The crowd, the fans are very fickle. A lot of people writing you off, and then you get the big win over Quajar, who is hot at the moment, and you're all of a sudden you're hot. You're back in the zone. You're back in the mix for people's talk about how hot the featherweight division is. Tell us a little bit about how things have changed for you, and how much more enjoyable it's Christmas when you win a big fight right before the holidays.
A lot more, man. Believe me. I mean, my kids are happy. I'm happy. I'm in a different stage of my life. You know, obviously, you know, having the age I have, being a four-time world champion in 3 weight class divisions. So it's a great feeling. And not just the win, the way I beat this guy. You know, a lot of people doubted me. And I fought so smart. I followed a great game plan. I'm in a great circle right now. I'm a great team. I got a great promoter, a great manager. I got everything set. So I'm happy.
Abner, we hope to see you back in the ring soon. Always one of the most exciting fighters of this generation, champ.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for stopping by. We're going to check out the weigh-in. The main event fighters are coming to the stage. Here we go. Frampton versus Santa Cruz 2. One of the best fights of 2016. They're doing it again. Early 2017. They're on stage. The crowd's going crazy. This is what it's about.
No, these guys are right. Such great fighters. They got smiles on their faces. They're so excited to be fighting on this stage, you know? And it's great for boxing.
Of course, but I mean, plus, the weigh-in is like a happy time because you finally get to eat afterwards. for me, the weigh-in is like a holiday, man. I don't have to train the next day. I get to fight. I don't have to train anymore. I get to fight, and then I get to time off after the fight. When I get to the weigh-in, I'm happy as ever.
Once again, Leo looks really good, man.
Leo looks big. Looks
wow.
Leo on the scale first.
That's what I said. I'm betting a draw because I don't want either of these guys to lose. I like them both.
And that's why being in Vegas, I kind of feel bad. I'm like trying to get the crowd to cheer for him too.
They respect him. Don't worry about that.
Weighs in at a ready 125 pounds.
Leo, 1 pound under the featherweight limit at 125 pounds. Trim and ready. He's ready for the showdown.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
revenge for Leo is what is on his mind. Here comes the champ, not to the scale. Call the Jackal Frampton.
Holy mackerel. And the crowd goes wild.
Listen to this crowd. They're getting amped up. Listen to this crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be a good fight. Can't wait.
Champion.
Both former featherweight champions, too.
Both guys. Former junior featherweight champions, all right? And both guys under the one pound under the limit at 125 pounds.
Yo, paws no use up, but Frampton's got some big legs, man.
Yeah.
I never seen him up close like that.
Oh, he's actually short for a featherweight, so the weight's got to be somewhere, you know? Obviously, it's in his legs.
They look good, man.
Let's see. Now they're going to have to pose off in front of the crowd, and the crowd usually gets hyped up for this. Let's see.
Opportunity once again, ladies and gentlemen, the main event of the evening, 12 rounds in a rematch. The whole boxing world has been waiting for. It's for the WBA Featherweight Championship of the World, along with the WBC Diamond Belt.
Diamond Belt.
Champion Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz. Center stage, please. Photo opportunity.
Face to face, Frampton Santa Cruz.
This is what it's all about.
Both stone cold, emotionless.
These guys can fight
now,
10 times.
Now they look. Now they look at the crowd. Leo brings out the smile. Now Leo's smiling as he looks at the crowd. Tell you, sometimes I feel like Leo's too nice of a guy to be a fighter, but man, what a fighter he is. Shake hands, respect among the two combatants as obviously they've gone to war already one time.
Momentarily, we're going to talk with the challenger first, Leo El Famoso Terremoto Santa Cruz.
Don't boo this man. He's a three-time champion.
You said after the first fight you wanted the rematch. Now it's upon us. How are you feeling and what's going through your mind as we get set for your matchup tomorrow night? And your prediction, sir, as you go ahead and get set for your matchup.
I know it's going to be another hard fight. Carl Frampton is a great fighter, you know, he's really good and everything. But, you know, I'm come here for the win, and we're going to come out there. Another hard fight, but we're going to win.
Leo El Famoso Terremoto Santa Cruz, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Leo. And now let's speak with the champion, the 2016 Fighter of the Year from Belfast, Northern Ireland, Carl the Jackal Frampton.
You know, and Leo's dad looks real good, too. It's great that he's in good health.
Absolutely.
No excuses for the fight. Leo pulled his ass off, but it's nice to know his father's in good health.
No peace of mind, too.
Yep.
Let's listen to Frampton now.
I just want to say thank you. Each and every person that's come out here, I really appreciate it, truly appreciate it. And I'm going to send us all home happy.
And finally, Henry.
headlining here in Vegas with this kind of atmosphere, the year that you had, it has to be so significant for you, following in the footsteps of the many great fighters from the UK in the past.
Last year was huge. I was very grateful and honored to share a ring with such a great champion in Leo Santa Cruz. I'm glad to be kicking off 2017 the same way. I think the fans had to enjoy our fight the last time, and I think just they expect more of the same. On Saturday night, it's going to be an outstanding fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, Carl the Jackal Frampton!
Wow, what a turnout, huh?
Terrific atmosphere. Really makes you look forward to tomorrow's night's festivities.
Well, fans, in just a few moments, we'll bring out our fighters for our next World Championship weigh-in. Reminding you, Showtime Championship Boxing features two world title bouts. Opens up at 9 p.m. local time at 10 o'clock Eastern time. The next fight, fighters are ready. We'll bring them up to the stage in just a few moments. Also, want to remind
Garcia
you,
and Zaltich Jr. is the weigh-in and next, another dynamite fight.
Oh, yeah. It's great to see two fights like that on the same card, man.
Yeah, two fights like that on the same card. What I predict will be high contact fights. You know what I mean? Both fights involve styles where the fighters involved have search and destroy type of mentalities. You know, both fighters, nobody really off the back foot, like, defensive style. None of the four fighters here in the main fight.
Pernell Whitaker's not fighting.
Yeah, or even Paulie Malachi. You know what I mean? I'll be honest with you. All four fights are going to, they're going to be exciting from the get-go.
Hey, if it's half as good as it was in Brooklyn a couple weeks ago, we're in for some great fights.
Terrific start. I can't wait.
Showtime's been on fire, man.
Jimmy Lennon Jr. is going to invite up the co-main event now.
Family, the challenger from Oxnard, California.
There he is.
WBC number two world contender. Please welcome the two-weight division champion, the undefeated Mikey Garcia. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the defending world champion, boxing first and only world champion from Montenegro. He'll be making the first defense of his title. Please welcome the undefeated WBC lightweight champion of the world, Dejan Dynamite Slatichnin.
Hey, I'm talking to you. What are the odds in this fight?
I got a card locks, you know? You're in Vegas, you don't even have the odds?
No, you know what? Listen, we're working here. I didn't get a chance to go to the sports book.
Where?
Yeah.
But, you know, I imagine
if I had to put a line out for this fight.
Dejan 2-1 underdog?
Yeah.
And he's an undefeated fighter. And he can very well win.
Mikey Garcia is the good stuff.
Of course he is. But it's always nice to take a shot with an undefeated fighter.
Latin Chinan has the kind of dynamite in his glove that he can end the fight one punch.
Right.
You know, he's fighting a guy that's considered a phenom.
True.
29 big knockouts.
It's funny, too, when hearing about Mikey.
Look at the head of hair on Mikey Garcia. I'm jealous.
You're jealous.
Look at the head of hair.
Hey, listen.
Look at the head of hair.
Give yourself a year. You'll be back there. Don't you worry.
No, sorry, bro. You'll never be like that.
Your hair will be going in just like that. Look at Abner. Look at Abner's hair.
Abner's got it. I mean, Mexicans, they got good hair genetics.
He looks like a rock star. I was going to ask where his album was coming out.
Don't have those genetics.
No, unfortunately. I'm a Jew. I look like an accountant.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is the defending world champion, also undefeated in his campaign, Dejan Slatichnin.
Slatichnin on the scale now.
He might shock the world tomorrow, man. It's possible.
Oh, he's got the power, too. I'll tell you. Both guys have dynamite. We'll go there.
Dejan Slatichnin weighs in at a trim and ready 134.5 pounds. Well, we have a fight, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it opens up the Showtime Championship Boxing broadcast. It's 12 rounds for the WBC Lightweight Championship of the World.
Now we're going to wait for this pose, the pose downs. Stay down.
Face-off photo opportunity. Following that,
Mike is a cool customer, too. He was never like, he wasn't like big time wanting to be a fighter growing up either. He just, Mikey.
Yeah.
He kind of fell into it, and he was really good at it.
Has he ever? All right, here we go. Garcia waiting at the front of the stage now, waiting for Zlatichnin to get back dressed so that he can take part in the stare down.
So these fans from Ireland, you know, I know they came to see Frampton, but they're going to see another good fight before that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, the Mexican support that Santa Cruz has, Garcia will also enjoy that Mexican support as well.
Of course.
He is certainly how funny is it that it's so much more quiet now right. since Frampton weighed in?
I'm surprised they're still in the building.
Yeah.
We'll see. Here comes
they must be out of drinks by now.
Here comes our teacher.
There we go.
Garcia, stare down, about to start now.
But Mikey looks like a bigger guy, no, Paulie?
Here we go. Well, Garcia's a taller guy. Our teacher, obviously, a little bit.
Oh, all business right here.
These guys are going to get it on, man. Oh, there's no two ways about it.
Both. And to get another stone face there down here.
Face to face.
Emotionless.
Oh, man.
Now they face the crowd and take pictures for the crowd as well.
And there they are, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss this one. Both of them
undefeated. That's going to be a good fight.
Both of them champions in their own right.
That is going to be a good fight.
12 rounds for the WBC Lightweight Championship of the World.
You know, I hope those casual boxing fans, you know, flip the channel by mistake and end up watching these fights, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what you hope for, really. You know, this is a... If you were to stumble upon a fight card, this is a fight card to stumble upon. Just like the Showtime card 2 weeks ago was a fight card to stumble upon. Here comes Mikey Garcia talking to Ray Flores now. Let's see what he says.
The sport of boxing that you wanted the best. Lo and behold, now we are one day away. You challenged Dejan Slatichanin for the WBC Lightweight Championship. You can follow in the footsteps of the likes of Floyd Mayweather, Julio Cesar Chavez, Roberto Duran.
Just to be here is already a big thing for me, obviously. I appreciate all the love and support that all the fans have shown me. If it's not for them, I'm nobody. But adding that title to the list and being mentioned among some of the greats that you just did, that's another honor in itself. I'm grateful for this opportunity. Saturday night, I will become three-division world champion.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mikey Garcia. Thank you very much, Mikey. Really appreciated. Oxnard's very own Mikey Garcia. And now, let's have a conversation with the WBC Lightweight Champion of the World, Dejan Slatichanin. Dejan, Mikey Garcia is the biggest name you can add to your resume. A huge opportunity for you tomorrow night. How you feeling one day away?
Prvo ćemo pozdraviti svoje navijače, malo ih je, ali ih ima. Veliki pozdrav. Pa da, znam da je Mikey jako poznat u Americi, jako popularan.
He got his little support with him.
He's got a translator. We'll see what he's saying now.
First of all, I want to appreciate and I want to give thanks to my people that came here to see me fight. That's number one and foremost. Number two, I know that everybody here in this arena knows who Mikey Garcia is. But believe me, after that fight, you all know my name. You won't even have a problem to pronounce it either.
I like that. He said you'll know my name. You won't have a problem pronouncing it either because I can't pronounce it.
Are you sticking to that, especially following our face-off?
Se tiče nokauta, mislim da sve zavisi od njega, kako bude on boksa. Ako bude želio borbu iz niza, bit će nokautiran. Ukoliko bude držao distancu, može svašta da bude, ali svakako vjerujem u svoju pobjedu.
It's all going to be depending on the way Mikey wants to fight me. If he wants to box and run and run circles around me, that's one thing. You know, I mean, it's going to take time for me to track him down. If he wants to engage and bang with me, you all know. You just look at my record. You all know how is that going to end up. Ladies and gentlemen, Montenegro's first world champion, the WBC Lightweight.
Oh, man, I'm excited about this fight. Both guys with killer dynamite power reputations, and both guys promising to put some hurtful ammunition on the opponent.
Can I call out a lock?
Go ahead, do it.
The under
on this fight?
I'm going with you in the sports book.
We have a Peter Cards lock. Peter Cards announced the lock, folks. Peter Cards announced
these guys,
the under.
These guys are going to hit each other hard the whole
Mikey
time.
But
what's the over-under? These guys are tough guys.
I know, but can you see them hitting each other at this magnitude, the way they punch for 10 or 12 rounds?
No.
It's tough.
All right, when are we going to the sports book?
Something that will go down
we're going?
Books, but
I'm my own sports book.
Oh, you don't do it here?
No, of course.
Yeah, come on.
We just been notified
I love
by
the Vegas.
Nevada State Athletic Commission that Yoni Barros, the challenger for the IBF featherweight title fight, did not meet Nevada State licensing requirements. Therefore, Lee Selby fight, in his defense of his title, that fight will not be happening. So
wow.
All very disappointed
that
about
that. That sucks.
Wow.
We're ready to go.
You gotta be kidding me.
We have to just pass it to you on that way. And at this
Paul, have you ever been in a situation where your fight was canceled last minute?
Not at the last minute.
That's gonna be really heartbreaking.
What is the problem? I would love to know what the problem is.
We'll find out, I'm sure. You know people find out.
They better have a real good reason to do this, bro. They better have a real reason to do this.
Come please,
Selby. Poor guy. Mad to make weight and everything.
What happens? You don't get paid, right? Nothing.
Well, you show up to the weigh-in. I assume maybe you get paid a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you got all the way to the weigh-in.
Very disappointed, but you know, can you tell us at least the support that you've gotten all fight week?
Sure, Jared Russell would step in.
The UK, you have a contingency over here that is
ridiculous.
From Wales, they have the Welsh flag, but
I mean, people flew here to watch him fight too.
For the fans that have come to support you,
I'm very appreciative. Thank you guys for traveling all the way over here.
Oh man, I'd be pissed.
To watch me fight. Sadly, the fight isn't happening. I came here. I prepared well. I made weight, but my opponent for some reason can't fight. I'm terribly sorry. I'm almost in tears. This was my big stage, my big chance to shine.
Yeah, poor guy.
Trust me, I'll be back and I'll come again.
That's a shame. No matter how you dice it, that's a shame.
On the main event, you were obviously.
Well, we watched Paulie. You too, Pete. Especially.
Let's listen to him.
But now, as we sort of dissect Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz, number two.
That's it. Hopefully, I can get straight back in the mix. Get a quick winner under my belt, and then I'd like to challenge the winner of Frampton Santa Cruz.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lightning Lee Selby. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up.
A real shame, man. A real shame. You do all the preparation. This was his stage. Because Lee Selby has really been looking for a stage like this, the Las Vegas stage under the big lights. You know, this is really, really so.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with our
sad. You know, he said he's almost in tears. I mean, when you have all these dreams and goals to accomplish certain things, you know, there's points in your career where you reach where you finally think you're gonna get there. This is a big moment for him, man. He's a world champion, but he's looking to get that big notoriety. This card would have gotten him that notoriety, and just to be taken off it at the last minute. All I can say is sometimes these commissions get on my nerves. I'm not gonna jump the gun. Hopefully, there's a good reason for not letting Barros fight. Because if it's a stupid reason, bro, you know I'm gonna call him out on the next episode.
Well, commonly,
bro. We're gonna find out what the problem is with not letting Barros fight, bringing him all the way from Argentina, and then he doesn't fight.
Commonly, when you see something like this, it's usually the fighter didn't make the weight.
Yeah, whatever. Obviously, Barros made the weight,
right?
Because
so
as they
this
had
is something totally
weight.
Different.
This probably has something to do with medicals or something. Maybe it's something serious. Who knows? But I certainly
he's okay too.
We certainly have to find out. I'm sure he's okay. He was walking around this morning. I saw him.
So there you go.
He's fine.
And this bout, ladies and gentlemen, in the super middleweight division is co-promoted by Samson Boxing. At this time, we invite...
I think we're going to wrap it up now. As David Benavidez is one of the best prospects in boxing, starts to get on the scale. Keep an eye on this guy. David Benavidez is one of the brighter prospects in boxing, but... We're going to close out the show.
What weight is he at?
He's at super middle or middleweight, something
will
like that.
Will that fight be on Extreme?
It's Showtime Extreme. Yeah, check him out.
What time Extreme fights start?
Usually 7.
7 Eastern.
7 Eastern time, usually, yeah.
All right, so this was cool, guys.
So another great show at another, I mean, this is the most exciting weigh-in so far that we've done.
We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Brooklyn to the World Travels, Brooklyn to Vegas. We were this time around.
Blue apron.
We hope to be Brooklyn and Cincinnati in 3 weeks. We hope to be Brooklyn and Cincinnati in 3 weeks. But in reality, what we're trying to do here, we want you guys to push to at Steven Espinosa on Twitter and at Showtime Boxing on Twitter. Push them to keep Brooklyn to the World traveling
and say hi to
these weigh-ins. Keep them traveling. Keep pushing these guys. Smack make them up. Travel. Peter Cards is attracting me over here. But that's all right now for this week's episode. We hope you guys liked it. Keep pushing the thing on Twitter. Thank you. Brooklyn to
Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. Peter Cards hasn't slept, by the way. Later.